Today is the feast of divine mercy, and you've got to heard the gospel of the sacrament of mercy. As we recall on Holy Thursday night in the upper room in Jerusalem, Christ gave us two sacraments and the sacrifice of the Mass. He ordained the apostles as bishops, instituted Holy Mass, and gave us the sacrament of the Eucharist. On Easter Sunday, he returned to the same place, the same room, to 10 of those apostles, bishops, and gave them another sacrament. There are 7 sacraments. 2 are for healing. 2 are of mercy, anointing of the sick, and the sacrament of penance, also called confession or reconciliation. And note the words used. He appears to them and says twice, "Peace be with you," because there are 2 natures in God. God's Son, Jesus Christ, one divine person with a human nature that was crucified and that rose again, and a divine nature. And as a divine being, he breathed on them. This is the 2nd time in recorded history when God has breathed upon humanity. The first was when he breathed life into Adam. Now, on this occasion, Christ breathes upon the apostles because they're going to, through God's grace, give sacramental life to those who are dead in sin. And hence the words, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven." That's the nuts and bolts of the sacrament of penance. People who seek forgiveness and confess their sins, God has given through his church the power, not that any priest or bishop has the power, but through the instrumentalities of the words conveyed, we are loosed of our sins. Death leads to life. We are freed and liberated. For sins committed after baptism in this sacrament of mercy. What a tremendous gift he gave thus to his church, and how beautiful it is to receive in these days that sacrament in preparation for this feast of divine mercy. We can go to confession 7 days before the feast, or today, or 7 days after, in order to receive the blessings that come from God with this sacramental devotion, instituted, promoted, and lived by St. John Paul. We recall that in the year 2000, he canonized Sister Faustina, and then made this feast a feast that he wanted the whole world to celebrate. We are living in difficult times, and many people lose heart and hope because of the misery of their life. To engender spiritual life into those souls, we have the antidote to misery called mercy. Mercy that comes from God himself. God can heal, we cannot. And on this day, we seek God's mercy, especially for those who are troubled and in need of his divine assistance. Thomas was one of the troubled souls among the apostles. We recall that he wasn't present when our Lord instituted this sacrament. And he doubted. Jesus says, "Doubt no longer." In the Catechism, a distinction is made regarding doubt and faith. It talks about willed doubt and involuntary doubt. And I would say Thomas had what we call involuntary doubt, which is almost like a difficulty putting it all together. Blessed John Newman once said, "A 1,000 difficulties don't make one doubt." In other words, you can have a lot of difficulties with regards to issues. Why is IVF morally wrong? Is Christ truly present in the Eucharist? Are there demons as there are angels? And why is hell everlasting? These are questions that plague people, and many have difficulty putting them together. But that doesn't mean they have willfully doubted. Make this distinction. You may have a sock, you may have a jumper that has a hole in it. You know, where the toe comes through the end, or the big hole in the jumper you're putting on early in the morning, or a cardigan with a hole in it. There's something missing that ought to be there. There's a gap. It isn't as it ought to be. It's incomplete. I would regard that as a willed doubt when we start pulling apart our faith and there's gaps in it. Since the crisis in the 70s and the 60s with regard to dissent in the church and also a failure of proper catechetics, many people have gaps in their Christian knowledge. They know some things but not everything. It's like having a garment with holes in it. We have to start darning and darn well to fill the gaps. That's different to having difficulties. A difficulty may be like, for example, you might have a rope that's just kind of tangled up and you have to untangle the rope, or a fishing line, it's all tangled. You know, if you spend time and patience, you can untangle the fishing line. You can sort out the rope. That's like a difficulty in our faith. We can work at it, we can spend some time on it, and with patience, it all comes together and makes sense. That's having difficulties. And some people have many difficulties, but give them time, patience, and prayer, and they'll sort it out. But that's different. That's a gap. There's a hole there that needs to be filled. On this Sunday, when Thomas was told, doubt no longer, but believe, we believe. We believe in Christ. The response is, I trust in you. We believe that what Christ has taught the church and what the church teaches us today is the fullness of truth. Let us pray that we might fill the gaps. Thomas was challenged, fill the gap in my side with his hand. When we get to heaven, we can ask him, did you actually put your finger in there or not? I think seeing, he believed, and hence the great statement, the reward to us who honour God, worship him, and especially have devotion to him on this Divine Mercy Sunday. I've incensed the icon of Divine Mercy is here to be venerated today. We seek God's mercy on this occasion. We pray that God may assist us and our families and friends. And of course, to receive the indulgence that comes with this feast, we say the Creed and the Our Father later on in the day. But most of all, we trust in God. We seek his grace in our lives. The response given by Christ to us today was, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We, in the year 2016, are those people. We believe, we have not seen the Lord, and we are blessed. And let us therefore reply, as did Thomas, my Lord and my God. Praise be Jesus Christ.